So what kind of cruise is this you're going on?
It's called the Born Again Boat Ride. Christian Quarterly gave it their highest rating, 5 thorny crowns. I do wish you'd come with me, Sheldon.
Well, Mom, if I did, it would be conclusive proof that your God can work miracles.
You're missing out. It's going to be wall-to-wall fun. It's all themed. There's Jonah and the whale watching. All you can eat last supper buffet. And my personal favorite, gunning with God.
What's gunning with God? I'm afraid to ask.
Oh, it is a hoot and a half. You write your sins on a clay pigeon, they fire them up in the air, and you pulverize them with a 12-gauge shotgun full of our Lord's forgiveness.
Frankly, Mom, I'm encouraged to see how advanced your group has become. You're willing to sail out into the ocean without fear of falling off the edge.
For example, if Shelley was aboard, he'd ride Smart Mouth on his pigeon. And then, bam!
The Lord giveth and the Lord bloweth away.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started.
Wait,
the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we're your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat
and Paul.
And we just love talking all things Big Bang.
We do. And this is why they're here every single week. They come back time and time again to listen to two people sitting here talking all things Big Bang.
Because Big Bang is awesome.
Well, yeah, but we're awesome too. This is why they come to speak to. This is why they come to hear us. They want to hear our insights into the world of Big Bang Theory.
Yes, not the onesie.
No, not the onesie. I'm not wearing that today. That's fine. Now, this episode is season 5, episode number 6, The Rhinitis Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, before we get started on that episode, we need to go back in time a little bit. Yes. I was going
to. Mommy, I didn't mean to. Stop that.
I was going to play the back in time theme, but we're going to go with that one. That's actually better than that one.
Well, it's like that episode a couple episodes ago where Amy played the harp and he's like, don't do that.
Well, we are going back to season 4, episode number 17, The Toast Derivation. We've got a question that was answered on that one. Now, the question was, have you ever sang karaoke? And we have had Dane, and Dane has answered, and they have said, yes, I have. Go-to songs are Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It.
I love that song.
And The Doors, People Are Strange. I like that song.
I don't know the song, but yes, they are.
You don't know the People Are Strange by The Doors?
I might know it if I heard it, but not
Yeah, you
just
probably
say
would,
it.
Yeah. And Phil Collins with Genesis, I Can't Dance. I haven't heard that one, I Can't Dance.
I don't know, but I did win tickets to a Genesis concert once.
Yes, you did.
That was amazing, too. Oh, it was the Invisible Touch tour.
That would have been awesome. That was Phil Collins at his prime.
Yeah, it was. And I remember toward the end of the evening, the band left the stage and they had two drum kits set up.
Yeah.
And their regular drummer was on one and Phil Collins got onto the other one and they did this duet. And it went on for like 5 to 7 minutes. But I remember at one point they were just stroke for stroke right in sync with each other.
Yeah.
And it was one of the coolest things I ever witnessed.
Yeah. I remember when Kiss had the MTV Unplugged show, and they had Peter Criss come on with Eric Singer to do a double drum with one of the songs. And yeah, when you know that those guys are really good when they're in sync, when you can actually watch them stroke for stroke,
yeah,
it's amazing. It would be so. Yeah, some of those answers, definitely The Doors, but We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister. Yeah, that's actually a good song.
Yeah.
That is. Now we are going to episode number 18, The Prestidigitation approximation. Thank you, my dear. Now
I lived around magicians for a long time. I learned how to say prestidigitation.
See, I can't say that without extra coffee. Now, I had put, do you like spicy food? Now, the reason we got into spicy food is because I'm starting to delve into the spicy food. And I'm starting
into the world of hot sauce.
Yes, and I'm still waiting for someone to send me some hot sauce. I know that Rob said that he's thinking about sending me stuff, but, you know, I'm open to everyone that would like to send me some hot sauce. I'm all good.
Remember, I have limited cupboard space.
It's okay. I'll make a little shrine in the boy room of hot sauce. Now, I actually had a brand new answer, which was from Dane. And he said, not really, as I am a wimp when spice is involved.
You and me both, Dane. We'll hang out at the wuss table.
But obviously I've had other answers. But thank you, Dane, for that one. That was good. I like that one. You're not necessarily a wuss if you don't like hot sauce. I only just started, and right, I'm at like 2,000 Scovilles, but I don't believe I'm ever going to get to the Carolina Reaper as like 1.2 million Scovilles unless I've got some toilet paper in the freezer ready to go.
Yep.
Now,
but Dane and I'll hang out at the tender tummy table.
The tender tummy table. Gee, so that five times drunk. Now we're going to go to season 5, episode 1. If everyone remembers, that is the there's a picture on that episode of our beautiful dog Oliver,
because he's gorgeous.
But the episode was called The Skank Reflex Analysis, and I had asked this question: have you ever played paintball? And Rob answered this question, and he said, I've never played paintball, but I've shot people with a paintball gun, and I've been shit by a paintball gun.
He's been shot by
by a paintball gun.
Although I'm sure it felt like shit.
You probably got shot by a paintball gun, Rob, and then took a shit.
Oh, geez. All right, that's enough language.
I'd love to play paintball. I'd love to actually have friends.
I want to play laser tag.
Laser tag's fun, but I think paintball would be more exciting because you just shoot the crap out of people. That'd be awesome.
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, probably would.
That's why I don't want to play it. I'd be bruised. I'd be bruised if not broken boned.
Now, episode 2, the infestation hypothesis. This is obviously season 5, episode 2. I asked a question: have you ever had a long distance relationship? And Rob came back and said, I've tried to have one when I moved to Texas, but it didn't work out.
Aww.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Rob was, now he's the gentleman that moved from New Jersey to Texas. So I'm guessing that would be a fair distance between trying to.
Yeah, it's about 1,200 miles or so, depending on what part of Texas.
That's a long time. Yeah, I do actually
But nobody can touch us on that one, though.
No, we are the gold standards for long distance relationships.
The first year of our marriage, I was in America and Paul was in Australia.
Yeah. Now it took me to go across the ocean to actually find her. But yeah, when I came back to Australia, that is a long distance relationship and a half to keep that going. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was all about Skype and email.
Yeah. Now, episode 3, the pulled groin extrapolation. I had actually asked a question: have you ever pulled a muscle? Because Kat and I are notorious for doing that because, you know, we're old. And I've
actually sneeze wrong and the back goes out.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had 3 responses. Now, the first one, I got a response by the name of Court. I'm guessing that could be Courtney. I don't know.
Well, I know sure. Guy's name Court.
Okay, well, it could be Court. Might not be Courtney, but anyway. Not sure if I've pulled a muscle, but I've had some terrible calf cramps from working out. Oh, shit, I've had that too. You know the calf cramps when you actually have worked out so much that it actually almost feels like it is so, so tight. That you literally go.
Oh, you
to
mean
walk.
Like the ones I get in the middle of the night that wake me up?
Yeah, or even when you're sitting in the cinema and you go to stretch and your calf locks up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had those. Yeah. Oh man, what
can be excruciating. I have had muscle cramps in my so I tend to get them in my feet.
Yeah.
In the arch of my foot, and it pulls my toes down. I have pictures of this. I've had it happen to me, I think 3 times now, where the spasm in my foot was so bad that it actually twists my foot into an S shape.
Yeah, I've seen
and I have pictures of it.
Yeah, she said she sent me a photograph one day because when she was in America and I was in Australia, she sent me a photograph of her foot just absolutely twisting. It was horrid to see.
Yeah, into an S shape. Don't ask me how I actually was able to get the camera, my phone.
I don't know. I don't know how you managed to do that.
But yeah, and that one went on for a good like 3 to 5 minutes, and it was just excruciating.
And I get them because because working in the medical industry, I'm on my feet all day. And yeah, when you get those cramps, man, I feel you. Now I've got to go back on top. So the next answer was from Rob, and he said, many times I was very active and show off with little regard for my own safety growing up. I think we all were definitely very active in our younger years, Rob. And I was definitely one of those kids that, you know, when the sun came up, I was out on my bike or I was out kicking the football. Yeah, the Australian rules football, not a soccer ball, but Australian rules football, or just, you know, being out with friends or stuff like that. So, yeah, I can understand being very active as a kid. Dane actually came back and said several times, once during a bowling tournament. Can you imagine getting a cramp? If you pulled a muscle during a bowling tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
Yeah.
Man. Well, thank you, everyone, for answering all those questions. That was brilliant. No, I love the people that actually really engage with us. So I'm really thankful for everyone.
I mean, we love you all, but we especially love it when you engage with us.
Oh, we love everybody. Regardless whether you're just sitting there going, man, I wish I could answer a question, but I don't know how to. If you don't know how to, at the bottom of every podcast, we've got our email, which is perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com. There you'll also find a little link that says, buy us a coffee. And if you click on that, you can actually buy us a coffee. It'll send you through to Kat's PayPal page, and you can donate a coffee to us. Yeah, we're not saying you have to.
No, but if you love what we do and you just want to say a little thank you, we'd love a coffee.
If you really love what we do, then buy us a coffee. Now we are going on to this week's episode, The Rhinitis Revelation. And this
Season 5, Episode 6.
Now, what did we think about this episode?
I get a kick out of this. I love every time we get to see Mary Cooper. I just love her.
Now, we will say that there is not too much involved with this episode. So I think that's probably why we did the mailbag at the beginning of the episode, because there really isn't a great deal.
It's not a lot of substance to it.
Yeah. You don't see Bernadette. Bernadette's one person you don't see this time.
We
see Amy. We saw Amy. But there really isn't a whole lot with regards to this episode. It doesn't move any of the characters along. It just gives you a little bit more of an insight into Sheldon's it's all about me and nothing about anyone else.
Her mollycoddling him.
Yeah, absolutely. So the episode opens up where Mary has come to visit for the weekend while she's waiting to board the Christian cruise called Born Again Boat Ride. And I love it how she's got little, you know, they've got little
things. Everything's themed, like Jonah and the whale watching.
Yep, and the all-you-can-eat Last Supper buffet. And yep. I love the last one, which is awesome, gunning with God. And it's like, well, what the hell is gunning
with
God?
Well, you write your sins on a clay pigeon, and then they throw it in the air, and you blow it to smithereens with a 12-gauge. Blessed with God's love.
And I like it how Mary says to Sheldon, you know, it would be really wonderful if you came with me. And he's like, yes, well, if I came with you, it would be definite proof that God really does exist. Because obviously,
and God works miracles.
Yeah, God works miracles, because there's no chance in hell you would ever get Sheldon on. And I like it how Sheldon also comes back with, you know, it's amazing you guys have got so much courage to get on a boat thinking that because you might
and fall trusting off that you're not going to go off the edge of the earth.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, if Sheldon came along with us and we were gunning with God, he would ride in his clay pigeon, smart mouth. And then boom. And I like it how Sheldon goes, yes, God giveth and the Lord giveth and the Lord bloweth away. But we see that the way that Sheldon hears is that, okay, his mother is now in the apartment.
Yep.
So it comes to dinner time, and I like it how he comes back and he says to her, well, I hope this wonderful dish of fried chicken.
And she's like, oh, that sounds good.
And he goes, good, because I've got all the stuff you need to make it. And
Leonard's like, Leonard got off the plane. She doesn't want to cook.
Yeah, and Leonard had already said, how about we go out somewhere to eat?
And Sheldon's like, no, cooking is how she says I love you. And cooking when she's too tired to cook says how much she loves me even more.
Yeah. And when you know, Leonard does say, well, how about we go out for dinner? And she goes, well, that'd be nice. And Sheldon comes back with the, but if we go out to eat, wouldn't that spoil
our appetite for the fried chicken
you're going to make me? And so we'd see that Mary is not going to be cooking him his fried chicken. And they're going to go out to a sushi restaurant. And Mary's never had sushi. So it's going to be one of those.
And she says, there's no harm in trying something new. And Sheldon jumps up with, there's a lot of danger in trying something new.
Yes. Sheldon's not the one of those people that would actually voluntarily go and just see what's the world has to offer. He's very happy in his little bubble and his little cocoon. And he's a very regimented man. So going outside of his comfort zone is very, very hard for him.
Yeah. Now, but before we leave talking about the cruise,
yes.
Mary Cooper, when she talked about it, she says, oh, it's going to be a hoot and a half.
Yes.
And in season 3, episode 1, just after Leonard, Howard, and Raj complained about the guy's recent Arctic trip, Sheldon also said it was a hoot and a half.
Oh, yes, he did, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that little bit of continuity.
And I do like it that Leonard does come back with the whole idea of, like, he says something and Leonard says, well, that's just crazy talk. And Mary comes back with the old, no, it's okay. I had him tested when he was younger.
Well, she confirmed that Sheldon was tested for insanity as a child and the doctor said he was fine. Then she says, kind of as an aside to herself, that she does regret, however, not taking him to a follow-up specialist in Houston.
Yeah.
And I still say in young Sheldon, they really missed a great opportunity to make a big deal out of all of that testing. Whereas the actual episode where she had him tested, it's like they took him to a Groupon family counselor.
And that was with Missy as well. And was Paige there?
No. This was just.
Oh, that was the twins thing, wasn't it?
No.
Yes, it was.
No. Can you let me finish, please?
All right.
No, Sheldon was going through something. I forget exactly what it was. And they found the coupon for the therapist and just George and Mary took Sheldon.
That's right.
And you remember that guy that is like, that looked like he was like 12.
Yes. I remember that now. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I remember
that.
So that's
when they had him tested.
Yeah.
And it was such a minimal thing that you don't even realize until after the episode that you're just like, wait a minute, was that when they had him tested?
Yeah, because they were driving back in George's pickup truck.
Yeah.
And Sheldon was in the center and it was like a non-event.
Yeah, it was an extreme non-event to the point where you don't even realize that they did the reference without, you know, they could have made it could have been so much better.
Yeah, that would have been, yeah, I remember that episode because I was getting it confused with the one that they were doing with the test between.
When they were testing the twins.
The twins, yeah. Which they thought they actually had the same cognitive reasoning and the same.
Well, no, because connection. Sheldon was good with the intellectual stuff and Missy was good with the social stuff.
That's social right. Cues. Yes.
Remember how she was saying to the woman, you should wear your hair down. You should wear a belt. The other doctor has a crush on you.
Yeah, that's right. And then it also becomes the other way where Sheldon was basically saying that his job was really not worth his time and effort and he could actually do other things other than doing this and almost taking over the entire session. Yeah. So yep, I remember that. But yeah, that would have actually been a better idea. So we see that Mary is coming back from the restaurant.
Before we do that, when they're walking into the restaurant, I'd like to point out a goof.
Okay.
When they were being seated, there were already 3 glasses of water waiting for them at the table.
Whoops.
Yep.
Oh dear. I didn't see that one.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't pay attention to that, damn it. But when we
That's
see...
That's why I am the trivia queen.
You are the trivia queen.
I have a tiara and everything.
Yes, you do. You sparkle. And we see that when we're coming back from the restaurant, even Leonard says, well, how did you like it? And Mary's like, oh, it was good. Would have been better if it had been cooked.
Or beef.
And it was beef. And she says to the boys, are you, is your landlord ever going to fix the broken elevator shaft? And we see that Leonard says to Mary, well, no, because right at this moment, Sheldon thinks we need...
No, Sheldon says we've actually been thinking about converting it into a missile silo. And then Leonard says, yes, he's thinking about launching an attack on Burbank. And Sheldon's like, well, better to get them before they get us.
And when we get to the front door, we see that Raj has come over and he is drinking some rather, well, he had six friends, six beers, but
well,
unfortunately
I got
three
here
died.
There was nobody here, so I brought six friends, but sadly now three of them are dead.
Three have died. So when Raj comes over and you know, we're seeing that he is drunk as a skunk. He's drunk as a skunk. And he's very upset because I like it. And Mary goes, you know, how are you doing, Raj? And he goes, I'm fine. She goes, really? And he goes, no. And he bursts into tears. And Mary, you know, comforts him instead of, and, you know, she's like, you know, that's right. Because originally when he starts to burst into tears, Sheldon says to Raj, well, that's okay. My mum is going to make us a pecan pie. And it's so good that it'll whatever dramas you've got going in your life, you'll forget. And Mary says, what do we do when one of our friends is upset? And he goes, we make them a hot beverage. And she says, and when they're drunk as a skunk, what beverage is that? And we find out it's coffee. So poor old Sheldon has to go and make coffee.
And how do we do it? And
he smiles like the Joker. So creepy. So Sheldon's making the coffee and he looks over and you can see that Mary is consoling Raj because Raj is so lonely without a girlfriend. And poor old Sheldon comes back with, I'm not going to get my pecan pie. But Sheldon, he's just not getting anything he wants right now. Everything he wants to do with Mary was just basically wait on him hand and foot. That's the whole thing with Sheldon on this episode. All he wants is his mother's attention all the time. Wait on me hand and foot. I want you to cook me dinner. We now see that Sheldon and Mary are down in the laundromat doing laundry. And I like it how, you know, they're doing the laundry. And I like it how Mary comes back with, yeah, one thing you really do miss when you're on vacation is
doing
laundry.
And then Sheldon's like, oh, you're using too much Downy. And she's like, and there it is. Takes me back to when you were a kid and I was doing your laundry and you were standing next to me criticizing.
Because as Sheldon does say, if you put too much Downy in and it makes his clothes too soft, it makes him sleepy.
But he's just like, yes, it's wonderful, isn't it?
So Penny comes down to do her laundry, which we find it interesting that she brings the laundry basket down and then takes the laundry basket back upstairs because she's going out on a date. And
Mary to check her wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because Mary's like, well, if you're putting, because she says to her, how are you doing? I understand Leonard's in a long distance relationship. And she's like, oh, I'm okay. It's been a while. I'm starting to put myself back out there. And Mary picks out this cute little shell top out of Penny's laundry. And she says, if you're putting yourself out there, are you wearing this?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, it's paid for itself 10 times over in free drinks. And Sheldon says, yeah, Penny has a lot invested in promiscuity futures.
Yeah. And Mary says, well, did you think maybe the reason that you don't have a young man in a steady relationship is that you let him ride the roller coasters for free? And she goes, well, no, they don't always get to ride the roller coaster. Sometimes they just get to spin the teacups.
And the look Sheldon gives her.
So now we see that Mary has relented. Absolutely relented and has cooked children dinner and their gang dinner. So everyone's going to have dinner over at their place. And
no, before that, it was breakfast.
No, not yet. We're in dinner first because at dinner, they are saying what you'd like to do. What it comes to
right,
is the fact that Sheldon has said to Mary, what we could do tomorrow is there is a lecture going
yeah,
on.
She's made the fried chicken.
Yeah, she's made the fried chicken, but no, it wasn't a fried chicken. Wasn't it the? It could have been the fried chicken in this
because
episode.
The bacon grease was breakfast.
Yeah, no, the one before that was something in a dish. I don't think the fried chicken was at the very end of the show.
Okay, then I missed a cook at home.
Yeah, there was this one
there
where
four,
they were
not three.
There was four. Yeah, so she's cooked some meal. And Sheldon is sitting there and the conversation swings to what they're going to do tomorrow. And Sheldon wants to go to a lecture and this guy is going to be doing a lecture and he wants to take his mother along, not to really watch the lecture, but to insult the lecturer, because he's going to be doing a lecture on how old the universe is, and he wants his mother to stick her fingers in his her ears and hum Amazing Grace while we're going through that.
Because he says that the universe is older than 6,000 years.
Yeah, and she says, well, I'd really like to maybe go and do, it was actually, it's a Nobel Prize winning work in cosmology. And it was by Saul Perlman. That's right. Saul Perlman.
Does, I believe, actually make a cameo in the final season when they're ramping up for, and when they're in the race to the Nobel Peace Prize. There's a whole bunch of Nobel laureates that have cameos. And I believe Saul Perlmutter was one of them.
I think he was the one that got there and threw it in the bin. He said, nope, no, thank you. Yeah.
Yep. Ooh, chocolate oatmeal cookies from Sheldon Cooper. No, thank you.
Yeah. But Mary says, well, maybe I've spent too much time in dingy lecture halls as you're a kid. So I'd like to maybe go sightseeing and learn.
I find ironic, because on every single episode of Young Sheldon, it's pretty much Meemaw that takes him, not his mother.
Yeah. So I don't know
what
that is all about. But Leonard comes back with the, you know, we could take her to see the Hollywood sign. We could take her to China, or like the Wax Museum.
We could go to the Walk of Fame in front of the Chinese Theater.
Yeah. And Sheldon doesn't take this very well, because Sheldon wants to actually just have this with his mother. I mean, obviously his mother hasn't spent really any quality time with just him right now. But, you know, she's only here for a short amount of time. She wants to get as much sightseeing in as possible. Even Penny says, maybe Rodeo Drive. And she said, well, I can't afford a $12,000 handbag.
No, I won't pay $12,000 for a handbag, but it's free to...
Look down upon those who can't afford it with condemnation.
Yeah. Yes.
And disgust. And unfortunately, this really sends Sheldon in a very, very upset state. And one of them is, and I think Howard goes, what's wrong? And he goes, what's wrong? You know, my mother comes here. I don't want you there with the sadness and the no cooking me fried chicken and all your sightseeing and everything.
And your slutty tops.
And he basically gets up and storms off to his bedroom. So it's almost like I'm taking my bat and ball and I'm going home.
Yes.
And so the following morning.
Raj whispers in Howard's ear about, and he's like, no, your top is fine. He wasn't talking about you. I thought was hilarious.
I know. So the following morning, there is Mary, and Mary has made pancakes and bacon. And of course, Leonard's like, these pancakes are beautiful. And she says, well, yes, it's okay, because I cook everything in bacon fat. And he's like, well, don't you worry about your cholesterol. And she goes, well, no, doctors are always changing their mind.
Okay, so the writers have Mary Cooper say doctors change their minds. Bacon grease is good one week and bad the next, in order to depict her Zach caliber ignorance of science. However, just so you know, in the 1950s, doctors really would recommend a daily spoonful of lard or bacon fat or corn oil to prevent essential fatty acid deficiency, which at the time was a serious problem with babies being fed low-fat infant formula.
I remember my grandmother, and my grandmother would cook in lard.
Yeah, my mom did. Crisco.
Crisco, where you guys come from. Lard, where we come from here. Sounds
better when you say Crisco.
Yeah, I know. Lard is like lard. Terrible lard.
Lard, lol.
Don't like lard. That's the Australian coming out of me. Sorry. That's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's not a knife.
See how I say it differently than you say it differently?
Well, that's because my Australian accent sucks. I can do many, many, many accents, but Australian is not
my,
one of them.
My American one, I can't do.
It's hilarious.
It's lovely. anyway, so we see now that the following morning, Sheldon comes out of his bedroom hoping his mother will change her mind when he apologizes for his actions. And he says, look, I want to apologize for the way I behaved last night. And she goes, apology accepted. And he goes, oh, good. Now, the guy, when we go to the lecture, the guy is going to say that, you know, he's the universe is older than 6,000 years. But maybe at that point, you can put your fingers in your ears and hum Amazing Grace.
And she's like, I'm not going with you. I'm going out with your friends.
To go sightseeing. And he goes, but I apologized. And
which wasn't easy for me because I didn't do anything wrong.
And she says, well, I accept your apology, but I'm still going out with your friends.
I just realized that in that scene where he's like, but I apologized and I didn't do anything wrong. That is so The Good Doctor.
Yes.
What we're watching in season 6 of The Good Doctor right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, well, it's very hard for me to apologize because I didn't do anything. And mm-hmm. You did. Anyone that has seen that show knows what he did. Yeah. So I like it how Sheldon stands and he goes, well, I'm not going to stand here. I'm not going to move from this spot until you accept that you're going to go out to this lecture with me.
And she's like, well, then you're going to be standing there all day.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm going out with your friends. Okay. I mean, even one stage when they were in the sushi restaurant, Sheldon was starting to get rather rambunctious. And Mary says to Sheldon, I will put you over my knee right here.
Like, you pester
right now.
Me one more time about that fried chicken. I'm going to put you over my knee right here in this restaurant.
And
Lori's like, oh, please pester her. Please pester her. and the other thing that you've kind of skated over is Mary Cooper's passive racism.
Oh, yeah. I didn't touch
like
on that.
Like, when they were in the sushi restaurant, she says there's a place in her town where they serve sushi, but it's basically just cut up fish sticks and some sauce. And
yeah.
And even though they put it with those ching chong letters, it doesn't make it sushi. And he's like, yeah.
And Leonard says no.
And then she's like, I thought it was this other thing we couldn't say. And then when they found Raj, she's like, oh, I thought it was only our Indians that had trouble with
the
alcohol.
Drinking problem.
And he's like, yeah, you can't.
We can't say that either.
And he's like, I'll make you a list.
And she comes back with, that's mighty white of you. And he's like, you can't say that either.
My brother used to say that to me.
That's terrible. I've never actually heard, until I actually saw Big Bang, I've never heard that's mighty white of you. I've never heard that.
Yeah, my brother used to say that to me when we were kids, but I don't think he realized what it meant.
What does it mean?
Basically it's saying that white people are the bigger people and more mature
please.
And stuff.
No,
but Maren Cooper notes, as I said, that Indian people may also be pride. Oh, and that's the thing is in when they were at the sushi restaurant, she was asking about the girlfriend. And he's like, yeah, well, she's in India and her parents don't like the fact that she's dating a white boy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, he's about to go on the other way.
Yeah.
And
that's where he goes. Yeah. We don't say that.
Yeah. I forget.
Mary's very sheltered.
Yeah. And she lives in a very homogenistic community where it's basically white Anglo-Saxon Christians.
Yeah.
There's very few people of color and very few alternative religions. Or
although when you look at it, you know, Sheldon had the best friend, Tam.
Tam.
And Tam was Asian.
Yeah, but he was also like the only child of color in that school.
Yeah, he was.
It's like where I grew up, there was one black kid in the entire high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He ended up being very popular and was on student council and stuff. And it's funny because it goes that way where either the people who are different in small towns like this, either the people who are different are really outcast.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, like I said, there was one black kid in my high school, and there was also this kid who had cerebral palsy that affected his motor skills and his speech and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And kids who are different, like of color or with some form of disability, it goes one of two ways. Either they become like super popular and are like the one that everybody wants to know, or they're bullied within an inch of their life.
Yeah.
My experience with these two boys was they both were actually one of the most popular kids in school.
Yeah.
And Blake is such a sweetheart. I saw him via FaceTime at a recent gathering of my high school class, and he's doing great. He's married and he's just having a wonderful life, which is beautiful. So anyway, And I forget which episode it was, but the electric, what number it was, but the electric can opener fluctuation was when Raj visited Texas, when they went to go get Sheldon.
Oh, yes. When he left.
When he left and he got so mad thinking everybody was against him. And Raj was surprised not to see any Texas Western tropes such as saloons, tumbleweeds, and cattle drives.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. So it does, certainly go in different waves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we do see now that Sheldon decides to take Amy instead to go to the lecture, but unfortunately just doesn't go the same way that he was hoping.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly would go as with his mother. As he thought, yeah, it would be.
And she notices Sheldon's complaining
and
attitude.
I love his thing that I could have made better PowerPoints on the wall of a kindergarten room from the contents of my diaper.
Diaper, yeah. I can imagine that. But I like it how she says, well, you know, she asks if he's jealous of sharing his mother's attention with his
other
friends.
Because she's not making him a priority.
Yeah, and Sheldon absolutely denies the fact, but Amy warns him that regardless of his intelligence, he has emotions just like everyone else.
I mean, for him to be called normal, biggest insult.
Now, from there, we transition over to the rest of the gang, and they're going sightseeing. But they're going sightseeing at Hollywood churches.
Yeah,
this is
and,
all
and,
she
and,
wants
and
to
and
do.
Leonard's like, what do you want me to do? She wants to see churches.
Yeah, and so because it's Raj, Howard, Penny, and Leonard, and Mary. And they're just going to see churches. That's all it is. And they visit a Roman Catholic church where Mary decides to get them all to pray. Because she wants to put some church into the church.
This is cute, especially for your rosary rattlers.
And Leonard goes, we don't say that either.
She's like, it's a miracle you people in California can talk.
So Mary says, well, let's put some church in this church. So she decides she's
gonna... I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah, so Mary starts to pray and thanks Jesus for all the strength to deal with Sheldon.
And
however,
not slap him up the back of the head with her
with
Bible.
With my Bible. And so she goes to Penny. Okay, Penny. And she goes, okay, Penny. And Penny goes, okay, God, what's up? And she goes, I would be really great if you could maybe stop.
Get my brother to stop cooking
meth.
But
no
cops.
Be cool. Now, Leonard's one was that he said, well, I guess it's too late for me to ask you to get me to make me taller.
And the look Penny gave him was hilarious.
Yeah, and also to maybe help him with the situation with Priya. Now, when we go to Howard, Howard abstains and tries not to burst into flames.
And Leonard slides away from him.
Yeah, because he's basically referencing his Jewish faith.
Yep.
Now, when Raj comes up, he's Hindu. So he goes via Howard and... Howard goes, apparently it's that he would like you to help him lose the last 5 pounds. And Mary goes, well, I would have actually gone with the
talking to girls thing.
And Raj goes to change his mind and Howard goes, no,
you only get one wish.
I absolutely love that.
That was hilarious.
So there we transition over to the last part of the episode where Sheldon is now at a bus stop. And he is sitting there and he's making... Yeah, he's talking to this guy who's obviously coming home from work, and Sheldon is saying that Sheldon is the remarkable one in the
that comes along once, maybe twice in a generation.
And he's sitting there going, that you know, you the average working man coming home from your hard day work as a stockbroker or a vacuum cleaner salesman,
or a boot black.
And then it starts to rain.
And this guy is just looking at him and he moves away from him.
And of course, then it starts to rain.
Sheldon's like, rain, the great equalizer falling on the head of both the brilliant and the mundane.
And the unremarkable. You know,
and the guy pulls out an umbrella and just looks at Sheldon with the self-satisfied smirk.
Like, I've got the umbrella and you don't, buddy boy.
You're so smart, are you?
Yeah. So when, and of course, when he was in... when he was with Amy, he sneezed twice and Amy handed him a tissue. So when he gets home, he's absolutely dripping wet.
Yep,
he's got a fever.
Completely soaked.
And he walks in and he's got this very soggy tissue. And he goes, can I have a dry tissue? This one got wet. And he is absolutely, he's got a fever and everything. And Mary comes over and says, oh my God, you're burning up. And this is where the maternal instincts kick in with Mary.
And she says, you know, we got to get you into bed. Don't worry. Mama's here to take care of her baby. And he's like, just to be clear, just your baby, right? Not all these other people.
And she goes, absolutely. And he goes, can I have tea with honey? And she goes, you can have whatever you want. And can I have a toast with a crust cut off? And she goes, yep, Mama is here to help, here to look after you.
And so she goes toward his bedroom. He's following her, and he turns around in the hallway and sticks his tongue out at the gang and then follows his mother into his room.
Now, funny enough is when he walks in, this is the fried chicken. So he did get his fried chicken. He just didn't eat it because he was sick. So he did get the fried chicken. This was obviously Mary's whole
and
thing
it did
all
look
along.
So good.
Didn't it? Oh, my God. I mean, Kat can cook, but this was really good. I'd like my fried chicken, too.
Well, I'm making you fried chicken thighs tonight with mustard sauce.
Yes. So we started to see
I love how his brain stalled when I mentioned the food.
Sorry. where was I? That's right.
You should see his face.
Thank you. So at the end of the episode, we're seeing that Mary is telling Sheldon that they have to have a different relationship now that he's a grown man and he has chest hair now. And
he's like, yeah, it grew in last summer.
And he goes, but you'll still sing Soft Kitty to me, won't you? And she goes, yes. And she starts to sing it. And Leonard comes in to ask, do I need to take something out of the oven?
The pie out of the oven.
Pie out of the oven.
Because she made the pecan pie, too.
That's right, the pecan pie. And of course, this is where Sheldon goes, get out. And she goes, well, that's rude. And he goes, oh, I know, but he does mean well. Now, she had sung the first two bars of Soft Kitty, and she picks up where she left off. And Sheldon has always said, even to Penny, Mom, what are you trying to pull? Start over. So she has to start all over again.
And then she looks heavenward and says, see what I mean?
This is what I'm talking about. The episode goes black, and that is the end of this episode. As I said, it's not a involved episode. It just shows you just how...
But it does have some fun moments.
It has fun moments, but it just shows you how Sheldon is. So, yes.
Yeah.
Now, this week's question is going to be, have you ever tried sushi? Kat is, if she could live off sushi, she would.
Pretty much.
Every fish in the world is, whenever you say Kat and sushi, they quiver.
That's not true.
Because she loves her sushi. So,
I love veggie sushi too.
Yes. So have
especially Avo sushi.
So have you ever tried sushi? You can answer that question directly on Spotify or email us your answer at perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com. It'll always be linked in the description under the bottom, so you can always just click on that.
And I'm going to add to that if you like sushi, what's your favorite kind of sushi?
Oh, you've added a sub-question.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you like sushi like I like sushi, then we'll have sushi tonight.
Okay. Do we have any more fun facts, crazy credits, or food?
Well, for those following along, we did have sushi once, and we cooked at home 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Lorre Productions number 361, miscellaneous showbiz tips. Never forget that taking a bow and ducking are essentially the same thing. The reason you suffer is because you think your identity and worth as a human being are inextricably tied to your career. Don't think that. Success has many parents and even more lawyers. They're paying you a lot because they're killing you. Don't grow too attached to your agent. Like a beloved spouse, they come and go. If you want fair, go to Pomona September 8th to 26th. Wear comfy shoes. It's not true that if you believe the good reviews, you must also believe the bad ones. The bad ones could have been written by mean, stupid people who hate your success. Act like your job is the most important thing in the world, but never forget that it's ultimately meaningless. All we are is dust in the wind, yada, yada, yada. Now, when it talks about the agents come and go,
yeah.
A little side thing that not a lot of people may know is Dolly Parton wrote, I'm blanking on the name of the song.
Not I Will Always Love You?
I'll Always Love You, which was made
famous by Whitney Houston.
By Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard.
Yeah.
But that was actually written by Dolly Parton. And what most people don't know about that is her first agent and business partner, she decided that it needed to be time to move on for her to do other things. And she needed to go where he couldn't really take her.
Yeah.
And she wrote that song to say goodbye to her agent and friend.
Yes. Now, I didn't actually say tell you that I was actually going to put this in the podcast.
Uh-oh.
We're going to end this podcast, unfortunately, on a bit of a somber note. Yesterday, in Sydney, Bondi Junction, which is a shopping center here in Australia, in the Westfield Shopping Center, we actually had a mass stabbing. And unfortunately, six people actually lost their lives yesterday. There was a baby that was injured in the stabbing, but that baby is pulled through okay. It's
that's good news.
Yeah, but it's fine. But there were six people that were stabbed by this perpetrator. Luckily, a very heroic female police officer shot him dead, which we are very, very grateful for, that he's actually no longer on the planet.
Well, but, I wouldn't say I'm grateful he's no longer on the planet, but...
I'm very glad that
it would have been good for him to have seen justice.
Yeah, but a law enforcement officer, with all
put her life on the line to save
and with
more
the
people.
Training that they go through, she was able to neutralize the situation, but not before six people lost their lives. And I think one of the most heartrending things was that the baby, the mother of the baby that was actually saved, luckily, she was fatally stabbed, but on her last moments on earth, she actually got her baby, and there were some passers-by that were running out of the shopping center.
And
she actually gave
the baby
to the people and said, please save my child.
Yeah.
So she saved her baby and unfortunately lost her life. So we just want to extend our heartfelt condolences to all the families other than the...
to all of those affected by this horrible, horrible tragedy.
And also the people that actually witnessed it that were not directly involved but did actually witness what was going on and were trying to rush out for safety, to save their own lives. Everyone involved is going to be a lot of healing. So we certainly do extend our heartfelt condolences to anybody involved in the Bondi Junction mass stabbing yesterday. Yeah. As we all know in Australia, gun control is very regimented. We really don't have private citizens having guns.
No,
but unfortunately,
they have to keep them at the gun club.
Yeah, but unfortunately, people do arm themselves with machetes and knives. So that may be something that they may even start looking into.
After a mass stabbing like this, it wouldn't surprise me if they did.
Yeah. So they may look into some sort of control with that weapon. But our sincere condolences to everyone that was involved. So
okay. So on that somber note, we want to thank you again for tuning into PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad. We absolutely love and adore all of our listeners. If you haven't already done so, please leave us a like and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know anyone else who would like to join the conversation, please definitely share the podcast.
And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, there is a link on the bottom of the description to click on to buy us a copy.
You just took that right out of my mouth.
Did I?
Yes, I was just starting to say it when you said that.
It tastes so nice. That's what, do you want it back?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Okay, there you go. You can have it back. Now you can say your bit too with the coffee.
All right, so next time we'll be doing season 5, episode 7, The Good Guy Fluctuation. And in the meantime, we'll catch up with you at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
Oh, this one's sweet. You know, for your rosary rattlers.
Mrs. Cooper, we say Catholics, not rosary rattlers.
My goodness, it's a wonder you people in California can talk at all.
This is like the worst Hollywood tour ever.
What are you gonna do? She wanted to see churches.
Hey, they have wine here, don't they?
Hey. None of our gods have abs like that.
Yep, that's the last Jew who did sit-ups. Look where it got him.
Hey, while we're here, why don't we all do some praying? Let's put a little church in this church.
Oh, I'm not sure we
should. It's easy. I'll show you how. Lord, Mary Cooper here, coming to you from Gomorrah, California. I want to thank you for the blessing that is my little Shelley. I also want to thank you for the continued strength not to cold cock him with my Bible. All right, Penny, your turn.
Okay. Hey, God. What's up? I'm good, but it would be a big help to my family if you could get my brother to stop cooking meth. But no cops. Be cool.
She also goes a little overboard on the love thy neighbor. Could probably use that chat you had with Mary Magdalene. Leonard, you're up. Wasserman, you're on deck.
Okay, I don't know. It's probably a little late to ask you to make me taller.
If you could help out with me and my girlfriend, she's all the way in India, that would be great.
Hear that, girl trouble? Turns out we were both wrong on that front. How about you?
No, thanks. I'm good. I'm really just trying not to burst into flames.
Rajesh?
He says he's having trouble dropping those last 5 pounds.
Huh. I might have gone with the talking to girls thing.
Yeah, no, you only get one wish.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with a